الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين روحي وأرواح العالمين بتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the listening in return of our Imam, please recite the salawat.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Inshallah, we all become the true Shias of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Recite the second one now.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
We have gathered together tonight on this very sorrowful night. Let's try to, for a moment, consider ourselves in Kufa. Try to picture the household of Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi. In the darkness of the night, Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi was going to be buried. Amir al-Mu'mineen is referred to as awwal madhlum, the one that was oppressed beyond everyone else. Why is that? Why is that title given to Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi? What type of treatment did he receive? One glimpse of it, let's talk about a couple of instances of this. Amir al-Mu'mineen, for whoever has studied the history of his life, whoever has studied his words, the sermons that he gave, anyone, Muslim, non-Muslim, everyone today that would be Christians have been writing books about Amir al-Mu'mineen. Jews write books about Amir al-Mu'mineen. Hindus, Buddhists, whoever reads about Amir al-Mu'mineen cannot dislike him. But when we read the history, we find that there was a reason why the lady Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha was
buried. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You know, she was buried at night. Okay? There was a reason for it. There was a reason why Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi told the children, cry quietly. When you want to weep, don't weep out loud. You want to bury your mother at night. No one's got to be here. This was an objection. This had to remain in history as a question for people to answer for themselves. Why is the grave of the daughter of the Holy Prophet not known? So when you go and try to research that, you figure out what happened in history. There's a reason for that. But why do we hear that Amir al-Mu'mineen was also buried at night? And no one, he was the Khalifa, right? People had accepted him as a Khalifa. He was buried at night, without the presence of others. Not only that, did you know the grave of Amir al-Mu'mineen was not known by people until the time of Imam al-Sadiq? Imam al-Sadiq once there, when he had spent a couple of years in Kufa, and he took some of the companions there and he said, this is the grave of Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah. 100 years, the grave was not shown to be there. Why? Why is this character that we see today, we understand him, he's so lovable, such a great person, but he had to bury it in that way. You know what they say? They said that they were afraid, they were worried that the people are going to dig up the body. They were not going to leave his body alone. For many years, they cursed him on the manabit, on the pulpits. Amir al-Mu'mineen, he ruled for 5 years, less than 5 years. Was Amir al-Mu'mineen any less capable than Muawiyah? Do you think that he was politically incapable? The Holy Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, appointed someone to rule after the Holy Prophet that was incapable. Doesn't make sense. Have we ever asked ourselves why the Imam was only able to rule for less than 5 full years? And the closer it got to the end of that time, the more there was dissatisfaction of the people with Amir. This is what happened. Honestly, I look at myself. If I lived during the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen, I'm not sure if I would have been one of those who would have spoken ill of Amir al-Mu'mineen. There's plenty of people in Kufa, right? That's how mazloom the Imam was. He did everything for these people. In his face, they would disrespect him. People would curse him. I'm not sure if we lived at that time, if we would have been able to be on this side. But why is it? Why did this happen? What is it that hurts Amir al-Mu'mineen sallallahu alayhi most? The Maghdumiya of Amir al-Mu'mineen really wasn't the feel of the blade cutting into his skull. Amir al-Mu'mineen wanted that. Ali ibn Abi Talib wanted to die from the sword, not in bed. He prayed for that. That's not pain for him. What hurt him was something else. Seeing the people move in the wrong direction, seeing the people being manipulated in the wrong direction, instead of following the instructions of Amir al-Mu'mineen sallallahu alayhi, you go the other direction. And believe me, it's not as easy as you think it is. Like, oh, Ali's Amir al-Mu'mineen sallallahu alayhi, without a shadow of a doubt, if he comes here and he tells me right now, I'm looking outside and it's dark, he tells me it's daytime, I would say, whatever you say, I'm probably not seeing right. What we think we are right now with Amir al-Mu'mineen sallallahu alayhi is like that. But at that time, it's not very easy. You know why Amir al-Mu'mineen sallallahu alayhi liked Malik al-Ashtar? He didn't have too many companions like that. The reason why he liked Malik wasn't because he was good with the sword. That wasn't the only reason. There were other people that were good with the sword as well. Probably more capable, some of them. But some of those people that were very good with the sword, in the Battle of Siffin, they turned against Amir al-Mu'mineen. They came with Amir al-Mu'mineen all the way from Kufa. They traveled at great distance with Amir al-Mu'mineen to fight along his side. And then a battle that was won. Malik was there seeing Muawiyah in front of him. Just a few more strikes of the swords and it would have been done when he got called back by Amir al-Mu'mineen. Malik, don't move forward. Come back. Like, we're going to win. You're going to lose Ali. He comes back. This is the Malvinia of the Islam. Why? There is a problem that Amir al-Mu'mineen suffered from with the people. He spoke to them, he said, this flag can be carried by people that are Ahlul Basar wa Sabr. The only ones that will be able to follow me every footstep. Without diverting our people who have these two qualities. Ahlul Basar wa Sabr. Insight and patience. Why insight? Amir al-Mu'mineen describes something called fitna. Plenty of fitnas happened during the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Very difficult times. I am sure, really, honestly, when I read that, when I study that history, very, very difficult for me to judge and say I, or a lot of people that I see around me, being the ones that would actually choose Amir al-Mu'mineen over his opponents. Because it becomes ambiguous. Things were made such that it was not clear. Haqq was not clear. Something similar, just as an example, in today, something similar to Syria today. This is all related, history and today. People are confused. Which side is Haqq, which side is Batil? People are dying there. Right? People are being killed. So, is the government saying the truth, telling the truth? Are the people, the rebels, what's going on here? Isn't that the same as Bahrain? We're saying people are being killed there. The government is at fault. There's plenty of fitnas that come around us. And these are the difficult tests. You know, the fitna is another name for examination. But the more difficult ones are referred to as fitna, where things are ambiguous, things are not clear. When you have it clear, the time of salah comes, and it's clear, you have to pray, any other occupation that's not necessary, that's not important, you're not supposed to be engaged in or involved with. That's clear. There's nothing ambiguous about it. Leave that, do this. If it's something that's more important, saving a life, or something that I cannot control right now, I have to do it, alright, I'll postpone the prayer a little bit. It's clear, you know what you're supposed to do. But when the lines are faded away, have faded away, it's not as clear. People are speaking as though they are very truthful. If I would bring you the letters that Muawiyah wrote, the way he spoke to his people, the way he spoke to Amir al-Mu'mineen, the way he spoke to Imam al-Mujtaba in his letters, you would not be able to tell that this is Muawiyah. Guaranteed. He speaks as though he is speaking on behalf of Islam. He's worried about Islam. He's not saying that, you know, I want to rule here and you're taking... He doesn't speak like that. He says, you have divided the Ummah. Uthman was killed. Alright, if he's killed, anybody that's killed, then you need to be bringing to justice those who created this crime. Makes sense. The letters that went back and forth, the types of speeches, the types of talks that were given, when you see them, it's not as clear who is on the right path and who is not. Remove from your mind for a second that you know already who Amir al-Mu'mineen is, because once you bring that into the picture, then everything is resolved. But when you're there, you would even question if this is actually Ali. I have seen this before my eyes. People who had 100 and full trust, 100% and full trust in a religious leader, something happened overnight, they flipped. They had full trust in him. Now he's fasiq. The same way the Khawarij. Khawarij went up with Amir al-Mu'mineen to the Battle of Siffin. They caused Amir al-Mu'mineen to accept that Hakamiyyah. Then they said, you have to repent. And he said, I didn't commit a sin. So he kafir. They treated his people. They say when they One of his companions of Amir al-Mu'mineen was passing by Nahrawan. They caught him and his wife. This man is the companion of the Holy Prophet as well. He's very loyal to Amir al-Mu'mineen. Gives everything, doesn't care. Kill me, I don't care. Ali is everything for me. You don't know why he is. They catch him and they say, you know, say that you dislike or curse Ali, basically, in a sense. Do not know Ali. Say that you're not with him. He said, no, I'm with Ali, and Ali is everything to me. Paraphrasing. They took him and they tied him to a tree. He says, I saw a Christian man walking by with a pig. And one of these guys who had caught this man went and killed that pig. The other one turned back to him and said, this was wrong. He is Ahlul Dhimna. He is someone that's respected by Islamic law. We didn't have the right to take away his property, although pigs are not property in Islam, but this was his, we didn't have the right. So we have to go pay him back. This companion of Amir al-Mu'mineen sallallahu alayhi turns back to him and says, you know, I was afraid of you guys, but what I saw right now, I'm pretty sure you guys are going to let me go. He said, sorry, no. They took him by the river, and in cold blood, they cut his head off. They would say that killing that pig is wrong, but killing the companion of Amir al-Mu'mineen sallallahu alayhi is wajib, you have to do it. These are the people that were with Ali. They considered him to be their leader. But things that are ambiguous, what type of things created this ambiguity? Amir al-Mu'mineen has a khutbah in Nahj al-Balagha, and it's narrated in Al-Kafi as well. He says, the worst of the people are two. إِنَّ أَبْغَضَ الْخَلْقِ إِلَى اللَّهِ لَرَجُلَانَ. One of them, he says, is a person that is constantly praying and fasting, but with their portrayal of being a worshipper, a good person, they are able to mislead the people in the wrong direction. You have these people. You have people that act very religious. When it comes to prayer, they know all the prayers. Ja'far al-Tayyar, all the recommended prayers. They've been to ziyarat, they go with the groups maybe even. He says that you can see religion, religiosity, that artificial religiosity in their face. Okay. But they are jahil. They are ignorant, not only that, they want to take that ignorance to others. And through their appearance, they're able to mislead people. This happens a lot in our communities. And this is the type of thing that hurts Amir al-Mu'mineen and we need to try to move away from. People that have religious baggage with them, they are considered important people. Maybe even they have an imam on their head. Maybe even the color is black. Doesn't mean much. Does not mean much. And sometimes we are able to go in the wrong direction against the teachings of Amir al-Mu'mineen sallallahu alayhi because of the way Amir al-Mu'mineen said, look, go do your research and learn what haq is and follow the people. Don't judge by appearance. Just because this guy has an imam on his head doesn't even mean that this guy studied in Qom or in Najaf. Do you know that? We have imam heads, I like to call them, that are coming out without even being in Najaf or Qom. I've seen this. They have not spent a day studying there. Somebody gave them imam. It's become very cheap. You know, I want to put this aside. You know, it's too cheap nowadays. Much less meaning that the person has actually gained the knowledge. This is one group that because of their religious appearance, Because they act all religious. Because they know the du'as, they recite the du'as, they're always there for Muharram. We know this as a symbol of religiosity, this person. Right? Be careful. That person may move you away from the Imam of your time. If you don't know what Haqq and Batil is. If you haven't developed that basirah in yourself. If you haven't got that insight. If you haven't figured out what Haqq is. Believe me. When the Imam comes, we have hadith about this. The same way that the Jews rejected the Prophet of Islam, which was their Prophet, some of the Shia are going to reject the Imam of our time. That basira is not there. That insight is not there. And someone will come around that seems to be, I think I'm doing this qurbatan ila Allah. I'm doing this for the sake of Allah. I'm doing this for the sake of the Imam. No, this is a fake Imam. We've read in hadith there are plenty of fake Imams that are going to be starting their mission. We've got to go against this one. If we haven't learned what Haqq and Batil is, we're going to have that problem. The second person that Amir al-Mu'mineen considers to be leaders of the Batil movement within the people of Ahlul Haqq. Now, this is the problem. If George W. Bush comes and says, that's not the Imam, like, okay, you can say whatever you want. But when it's someone that looks like us, someone that's very religious, when they come and say, no, we have hadith here, see? This book, this volume, your translation of it, no, this is not the Imam. That's when it's going to have that type of effect. Second group are the people that portray themselves as ulama, as scholars, and they are not ulama. And Amir al-Mu'mineen describes them in a very interesting way. He says, يَحْسَبُ النَّاسِ جُهَالُ النَّاسِ عَالِمًا وَلَيْسَبًا. The ignorant people that have not developed that insight, they don't know what Haqq is, what Batil is, they consider this person to be an alim, and he is not. Sometimes we listen to a person, and they're able to deliver very well. Speak with confidence. It's interesting, you know. When I go to the ulama in Qom, these are maraja, scholars that have spent 40, 50 years in the housing. You ask them a question. The way they respond to you is this. They say, you feel a bit of hesitation. And then they say, well, there's this verse, and there's this other hadith, and a third hadith, and this other verse as well, and this is what logic tells us. Putting all this together, it seems like this is the answer. At the end, they add, Wallahu al-alim, God knows. And sometimes here I am, like I'm receiving revelation or something, with full confidence, this is it. Ask me a question about fiqh. Yes, according to this or the other ayatullah or whatever, or I've done research, or it can't be. I've heard people making like very interesting comments. MashaAllah, God has given you a lot of talent. I don't know when you learn all of that stuff. Sometimes these are the people. يَحْسَبُهُ جُهَالُ النَّاسِ عَالِمًا وَلَيْسَ بِعَالِمًا. The ignorant people think this is a good guy. He's a scholar. He knows what he's talking about. One thing that always puts me off, like this guy really knows his how. He knows all the dates. Like, oh really? Did you check even one of those dates? Were those accurate dates in the first place? I can throw out figures. How would you know if I'm right or wrong? Have you ever checked a book? Just because I sound confident, like if page such and such of this book, I can throw it out, none of you are going to go and research it. Trust me. Guaranteed. Because it's an Arab book. And even Ibn Salamullah alayhi suffered this combination. These people who he said here, these are abghadul nas ilallah or abghadul ibad, the most despised servants and creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and juhalul nas, the masses that did not have and they did not develop this spirit of basira and insight in themselves. They didn't learn. And they followed, they always fell prey to either the ones that look religious but were completely stupid, like Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, or the people that had knowledge but they didn't have full knowledge. There's plenty of them. I'll go back to another incident, which is something that is even more puzzling of why it happened. The day the Holy Prophet passed away, these thousands of people that followed him suddenly changed course. It's a question to ask yourself. That's a valid question. Sometimes people who don't believe in the wala of Amir al-Mu'mineen, they ask us, like, this can't be true, give me a break. These people that used to make, when the Holy Prophet made wudu, they loved him so much they would make sure they catch the drops, alright, so that they can take barakah from the drops of water trickling down from the hands and the face of the Holy Prophet. You're telling me, as soon as the Holy Prophet passed away, they changed something that important in religion? We're like, yeah. But how? How does that make sense? How does that happen? One of the ways is that the people who caused this, they were companions of the Holy Prophet. They did have some knowledge of what the Holy Prophet said. So when they came and fabricated, you know, one of the things that they said? When Amir al-Mu'mineen said, what about Ghadir? In public now? They said, yeah, the Holy Prophet did say that. But afterwards he said something else. He said, Khilafah and Nubuwwah are not going to come together in this family. Fabrication. People are not clear. Really? I'm not sure. It's not clear. You and I consider those couple of people to be very evil and whatever they say is not acceptable. But when you're in that situation, when someone like that arises in our communities, we're not going to easily be able to identify that. What Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi wanted were followers with Ahlul Basar al-Sabr. People with insight. If we want tonight to be one of those who are with, because Amir al-Mu'mineen had some very, very good loyal companions as well. If we want to be joining them on this night, we got to work on this, brothers and sisters. We've got to open our eyes to the realities of this world and develop that insight in everything that happens around us. Figure out what the enemies of Islam are going to use through our own means against us. They are paying for masjids in the United States of America. Okay. They are building masjids in the United States of America. They are building masjids in the Middle East. They don't have any problem with that. They'll pay you. Please, go ahead, have this. Have the biggest minarets as well. We don't have a problem with that. As long as you say what we want you to say. Right? This is not just related to 1400 years ago. This is happening right now. And we're asleep. We are asleep. We are being fooled by these people. We are being fooled by these people. plenty of examples, but I'll leave that. I think I've already gone beyond my limits. Okay. But this advice from Amir al-Mu'mineen, start to look. Amir al-Mu'mineen says in the environment of fitna, there are a couple of things that happen. He says there are the leaders of this fitna that are going to lead people in the wrong direction. They are going to be fabricating things in religion. It's always happened. The Jews did this. The Christians did this. After the Holy Prophet, they did this. Okay? During the time of the Ma'sumin, they did it. I don't have time to go over those other deviant movements during the time of the Ahlul Bayt. Every other imam had another deviant movement that broke off. And they fabricated hadith when they broke off. Right? This has continued and it will continue. They fabricated things and people were not able to identify that. He says, لَوْ كَانَ الْحَقُّ خَلَصْ لَمْ يَكُنْ اِخْتِلَافْ. If it was only haqq, everybody was saying the right thing, there wouldn't be differences. Everybody would be saying the right thing, the same thing. Okay? And لَوْ كَانَ الْبَاطِلُ خَلَصْ. If it was only batil, if it was only lies, if the media of BBC, of CNN, of Fox would only lie, it would be easy. You don't listen to this guy, he's constantly lying. The problem is, وَلَكِنْ يَأْخُذُ يُؤْخَذْ مِنْ هَذَا ذِغْثٌ وَمِنْ هَذَا ذِغْثٌ فَيُمْزَجَانْ فَهُنَالِكَ اسْتَحْوَذَ الشَّيْطَانُ عَلَىٰ أَوْلِيَائِهِ. It's not pure haqq, it's not pure batil. They take a little bit of batil. It was this funny story. It's a real story. They say Shaitan went to Prophet Isa, ala nabina wa alihi alayhi salam. Told him, I have five advices for you. I said, okay, go ahead. First, gave him the advice. I forget what it is exactly, but like, great, okay. Second, great advice. Third, great advice. Fourth, great advice. You want to say the fifth one? He said, leave it there. Stop. Why? You gave me these four good advices to gain my trust. So on the fifth one, you get me in the wrong one. Four truth or true stories, so that on the fifth one, they can get you with the lie. They're not going to always lie. They will tell the truth at times. But then they slip in the lies and you think, oh, this is part of the truth. The very least they confuse you. And you know that? You know what? That is a great result. Because if you're confused, you're not going to do the right thing. See? If you're confused, you're not going to join them. It doesn't matter. You don't have to go with Muawiyah. As long as you're not with Ali, we're okay. Right? Less people on the side of Haqq, so we can deal with it. As long as you're confused, we're fine. Now, this is the problem. He says, يُؤْخَذْ مِنْ هَذَا ذِقْثٌ وَمِنْ هَذَا ذِقْثٌ فَيُمْزَجَانَ. They're mixed. فَهُنَالِكَ اسْتَحْوَذَ الشَّيْطَانُ عَلَىٰ أَوْلِيَائِهِ. This is the context in which Shaytan is able to take control over his awliya. These are the more difficult tests that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. So one thing was basira that we talked about. The second thing that's going to lead to that basira is a combination: reading news, being informed, looking, trying to analyze, figuring out what's haqq, what's batil. Second part of that is this hadith. He says, هُنَالِكَ اسْتَحْوَذَ الشَّيْطَانُ عَلَىٰ أَوْلِيَائِهِ وَاسْتَبَقَ وَنَجَى الَّذِينَ سَبَقَتْ لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْحُسْنَى. The people that are awliya with shaitan, they're going to go in the wrong direction. And people that have been on the right path, they're going to go in and follow the right thing. What does that mean? The practice, taqwa. Not sinning. We think these small little sins are okay. We don't see the results of them. Zubayr didn't always start as an enemy of Amir al-Mu'mineen. He was actually a very staunch supporter of Amir al-Mu'mineen after the Holy Prophet. Gradually, that money came in, he started to like it. His son as well, according to hadith, his son was the main cause of him moving in the wrong direction. But anyhow, it gradually creeps its way. These small little sins, it's okay, it's haram. No, we'll find a justification here. Wrong guy giving you that money, well, we'll justify it. It's kuffar giving it to us, so we're okay with taking it. Well, it's the State Department. It's okay. No, it's not okay. You gotta be careful where that money's coming from, because they don't give it for free. Don't think that it's for free. Right? It creeps. It comes. And then before you know it, you still have the imam on your head, but the message is completely different. Taqwa, taqwa, taqwa. These little sins. The Holy Quran says, there's no wilaya that shaitan has over anyone except for those who choose to follow him. So when the hadith says, هُنَالِكَ اسْتَحْوَذَ الشَّيْطَانُ عَلَىٰ أَوْلِيَائِهِ, shaitan is able to take control of his awliya. His awliya are who? Those who have been committing sins. So one thing is developing that basira, the other thing is making sure we don't commit sins. Because if we commit those sins, we will see haqq, but we will blur our own vision at that time. We will do that. People did that. They saw the truth, but they just turned a blind eye to it. These sins, that's what they do. You see the truth, but at that stage, it's too expensive for me to accept that truth. Let's try to join Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi this night, the body of our beloved Imam in Kufa. صلى الله عليكم يا أهل بيت النبوة وما أودع اختلف الملائكة وما اهبط الوحي وخزان العلم فمنتهى الحلم. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. My beloved Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. It was in your homes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with guidance and revelation. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. Angels descend upon you day and day out, seeking your permission before entering upon you. Try to imagine yourself there in Kufa.
الضعائف الأمير المؤمنين. There's a cloth wrapped around the head of Amir al-Mu'mineen. I don't know if there's any blood left there to get onto this cloth. His face is very pale. He's going unconscious at times. The family members are present. Try to picture Imam al-Mujtaba in a corner crying. Imam al-Hussein. He had some advice that he wanted to give to his household on that last day. He said he called some of his children over. Hassan, my beloved son, come forward. It will be a day for you as well. You will be given poison. I will see the day that in your own home you would be coughing up blood. Ya Aba Abdullah, come forward. Why are you crying? La yawmaka yawmaka ya Aba Abdullah. You will have a day as well. On that day, the heavens and the earth would be weeping for you. They will not even have mercy on your six-month-old baby. They will attack you from all directions. Abul Fadl al-Abbas, come forward. Maybe Amir al-Mu'mineen looks at the height of Abul Fadl al-Abbas. Ya Abbas, you will be with Hussein in Karbala. I want you to be a loyal companion for Abu Abdullah. Be the protector. Abul Fadl al-Abbas showed that in Karbala, the loyalty that he had for Imam al-Hussein, he did not even respond to the enemy's call when Shibr ibn Dhul-Jawshan called upon him to give him a letter of security and immunity. Abul Fadl al-Abbas did not even respond to him. He was sitting beside Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. After a few calls, Imam al-Hussein told Abul Fadl al-Abbas, brother, he is a fasiq, he is a sinner, but go and see what he has to say to you. He went there, the mal'oon told him he wanted to buy Abul Fadl al-Abbas. He wanted him to leave Imam al-Hussein alone. He said, Ya Abbas, I have these letters. Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad has promised you will be untouched. You can live, you and your brothers, because of our family relationship. Abul Fadl al-Abbas responded, May Allah curse you and these letters. Abbas is given immunity and security, but the son of the daughter of the Holy Prophet is not given the security. come forward. You are Ummul Masail. You have many more difficult days to come. You need to practice patience. You will be brought to Kufa as a captive. You will be taken to Sham as a war captive. People will be clapping and laughing and throwing stones. They say the Imam would go in and out. He would go unconscious and come back again. One of those last moments, he said something that truly burns the heart. He said, "Why are you crying? If you see the people that are here, that are saying their salams to me, you wouldn't be crying." He said, "Hada Rasulullah, here is the Holy Prophet." He's saying his greetings and salams to me, Ya Ali. We can't wait any longer. Can you come faster? But on the other side, the lady Fatima to Zahra is here. The remembrance of the Masail, the difficulties that Amir al-Mu'mineen had to take. Imagine now you're sitting by the body of Amir al-Mu'mineen. You start saying, La ilaha illallah, picking the body up to go and bury the body of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Sallallahu alayhi. أبا الحسن يا أمير المؤمنين لا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا